Wow. What a joy to be co-laborers with some of these brothers, y'all. Because I know there's a lot of preachers out here, and this is what we're called to do. Just pick up this book and make it plain. Take it down off the shelf. We don't have to be, pontificating and all this so-called semi-deep. We just got to make it plain, and I'm so thankful that God has given us some preachers this evening. Thank you, Brother Dickard. Thank you for that word. God bless you, brother. Many, many more years of continued preaching. We have coming up with us next going to be Brother Fred Shoemake from Arlington Baptist College, graduating senior from Arlington Baptist College. And before he comes up, I just want to say to you gentlemen, I forgot to tell you, first two guys, you missed out. If you need anything to drink, this water is here for you. Now, I got to tell you, this is not living water, but I know that's what you're bringing us, so come on. God bless you. Preach the word.
Okay. All right, now y'all hear me. That's good. All righty, so if y'all are with me, may you... If you don't mind, turn to Genesis 5, and we're going to be reading verses 21 through 24. So, if you don't mind, would you please stand as we're reading God's word? Let's turn there. All right, and I'm reading out of the ESV here, so continuing on. Let's see right about. Okay. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. May now be seated. So, today, since most things are talked about today, like there's people say, hey, you love reading the Bible? You know, is it interesting? People are like, yeah, but there's some boring parts of the Bible. And you ask them, well, which ones? And they're like, oh, well, I don't like them genealogies. They're so boring. A bunch of useless names are there. You know, it doesn't really give us any information. Well, with our passage there, obviously there's something very unique there. And so one of the things when doing a study through this passage, the whole chapter, which we can't get in through tonight because of time, but one of the interesting things is there's actually a salvation message encoded in there if you actually take their names and find their meaning in the Hebrew and put them in order. In there, if we do that, we have man appointed mortal sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching his death shall bring the despairing comfort. So right there, if anyone says genealogies are useless, well... no, they're not. For all scripture is inspired and is errant and is useful for teaching and for instruction, as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says right there. So now going on, today we're going to be focusing on Enoch and his walk with God and how uniquely God blessed him and is one of only two people that scripture shows us that never tasted death. So right here, like what's interesting in the background that's going on, it's basically Enoch grew up in a very wicked and adulterous generation in his day. And one of the ways we know is he lived approximately at the time of Lamech of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we have him, Lamech, he has an interesting little poem or song, scholars dispute like what it is, but in there, paraphrasing it, he basically, first song that's off is he's the first person to have more than one wife. We know God intended marriage to be between one man and one woman. He permitted it in the Old Testament for multiples, but that wasn't the divine instruction as our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the New Testament to the Pharisees on divorce. And so he has two wives, and he's telling his two wives, interestingly enough, in arrogance, that he has killed a man for wounding him and clarifies by striking him. So a guy, he gets in a scuffle with somebody, gets a little mark on him, you know, he bleeds a little bit, and he ends up killing and bragging about it. That's just part of how men were constantly doing violence, as we learn in Genesis chapter 6. So as we see here, And what we've also know with Enoch, since he walked with God, there's an interesting parallel in the ancient Near East. There's two stories that are very similar to them. And one of the stories is, that has been found was in the Sumerian kings list. There was the seventh king, Utabzu. I probably butchered that, but unless there's any Sumerian scholars in here, I mean, so I'm sure that y'all won't complain. So, but what's very interesting is that he says that he was intimate with the gods and well-versed in occult practices. Another parallel is in the Egyptian literature, is Shu, the god of the air, obeys the commands of the gods and takes Pharaoh, who's king, to heaven. Now, this is a theory of mine. I can't prove this, but I personally think that those are two retelling and corrupt accounts about Enoch and what happened here in Scripture, which records for us the truthful version that God has given us. And so, my question today with us is, which what our text will have to deal with, is how do you walk with God? How do we have that walk with God that Enoch had? And first part we're going to start off with is the walk of God here. The Hebrew term is used, and it signifies intimacy and continual relationship with God. And the same term is also used in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit and heard God walking in the cool in the midst of the day. And not only that, but the same term is also used with Noah, since he walked with God and God had grace with Noah in his walk and how he stood for the truth and righteousness. So, our first point we're going to go off on how to walk with God is, in order to walk with God, we are called to live in this world, but not to be a part of its wickedness. And so, what's really appalling, I'm just going to use one example, it's not the biggest issue, but it's one we are all surely familiar with, is the world is becoming more wicked and wicked every day. As Paul tells Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, he lets him know that perilous times are going to be coming. And one of the things is here, and like I'm reiterating again, this for emphasis, is that I'm not harping on this. This is not the major issue. It's an important issue, but I'm just giving an example. Is like today, if you were to go to somebody who's secular and you say, I stand for biblical marriage, I think homosexual marriage is wrong, you're going to be considered a bigot, you're going to be made fun of, you're going to be considered intolerant and very hateful. It's pretty much like, to make a hyperbole to get the point across, it's like you saying, hey, I just pushed an old lady across the street and hit a car and then she died. Just to get something across. That's the way it looks like. And what I learned, like, a few months ago, thanks to, I'm saying this sarcastically, of course, but thanks to what the State Supreme Court of California did, or the district court, through that loophole with marriage, a guy in California legally married his dog. May God have mercy on us, people. May God have mercy on where this is going. And another interesting thing is, and people told us that a slippery slope isn't going to happen. Oh, it looks like that got proved wrong. But, I mean, the point is, if the logic goes there, what's going to stop that from being group marriages? What's going to stop that from polygamy? What's going to stop this from incest? I mean, God forbid, I don't mean to be graphic or anything, but what's going to stop it? It's just going to, and once man does one thing wicked and is permitted to, it's just going to escalate more and more. And so that's our first point. Our first point is we're called to live in this world but not be a part of its wickedness. The second one is walking with God includes being a witness. In other words, we're not supposed to just keep the truth of God that we have and only keep it in our heart and to ourselves. We are supposed to tell others about it. And so, and as Enoch, as we've learned in the book of Jude, is that he was a preacher of righteousness, and he was also a prophet, prophesying to, had a really repetitive message, but stressed the ungodliness of his day. Unfortunately, Scripture doesn't give us, like, did he have any believers with him? Did he have any, did he get any converts to worship the true God? But we do know that he did stand boldly and proclaim the truth, which is what we're also called to do. Number three, Enoch walked with God because he had a true desire to be with God. He wanted to have personal fellowship with him. He wanted to grow in his relationship with him. That's one thing we have to desire to do. I mean, just going to church is a good thing. Going to Bible studies is a good thing. But that's not a substitute with a personal relationship with God. And so that's the third one. Number four is we are to walk by faith. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. It's impossible without faith in order to please God. So when we walk by faith, we are placing all our trust in Him and seek to honor Him by obeying His word and doing those things that please Him. So basically, to put it in layman's terms, it's living life in the light of eternal consequences. And so one of the things is fearing God more than the fear of man. The easy illustration is, why do people lie? There are liars, and we've all told a lie. So why do people do it? Well, the basic motivation for people lying is because they fear man more than they fear God. They care more, what does man think about me? What do my peers think about me more than what does God think about me? What does God think about what I'm doing? And so moving on to our next point, number five. Walking with God implies progress and growth. The very concept of walking is movement. It is forward progression. When a person walks, regardless of how fast he or she may go, because Lord knows I don't like running, unless I'm running for my life to escape someone who's trying to get me. So no matter how fast they may be going, they're normally supposed to be walking in a forward manner. Walk is used in the Bible as a metaphor for our daily lives, the way we conduct ourselves in day-to-day and day-in and day-out. And as one of my Bible professors at Arlington Baptist College has taught me, is if we should be looking at our life today and how we're walking with God now. If we were to move a year from now and we were to look back in that year, and if we haven't grown any, there is something wrong. We need to constantly be pursuing righteousness and walking after Him who is the light. And number six, we have this. Walking with God is deadly. You may be thinking, what? What are you talking about, friend? Hold on. Hold the phone. I'm about to get there with you. First, Enoch had to turn away from the temporal things that tauntingly tempt us daily, which seek to spiritually distract us and to derail us in our spiritual lives. So our anthem should be Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. I die daily, which is living out the words Christ said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where He tells us to deny ourselves, pick up our crosses daily, and follow Him. In order to live consistently for Christ, we must daily surrender to Him and what He wants from us. So you may be saying, well, Fred, that's great, but are you saying that movies is a bad thing, TV is a bad thing, you know, going to a sporting event is a bad thing? No, none of those things, and other things included, other hobbies are not a bad thing, but we just got to give them their proper time and place. We need to put God first. We don't need to make them become the idols in our life where we only go to those things. So now, with our application before I close, one of the ways we can die to ourselves while also serving Christ is loving other people. For John tells us in 1 John, we love Him because He first loved us. Now, in the Greek, there's no Him there. It's left implied. It could be either Him and also be the brothers or our Christian brethren. Knowing John, a lot of times he likes to do wordplays with both. So it's most likely both. We love Him and we love the brethren. Why? Because God first loved us. And so how we do this is, for one, like husbands and wives, husbands, one of the things we can do, and this is multifacious with these applications, walking with God, but one way to walk selflessly is to, you know, treat your wife out, you know, have her go hang out with her lady friends while you go and clean up the house and watch the kids. And when she comes back, be pleasantly surprised that it's spick and span. Another good one is, fellow wives, is like to take your husband out to a sporting event or out to a favorite movie that he may want to see. And also for any people that are in high school or college or going through seminary, maybe helping out someone who's in need, even though you may want to catch up on your favorite show like Walking Dead. And so, I mean, there's this multifaceted thing that you can do there. And I'm closing. Before I close, one thing is this. Frank Sinatra had a song that said that in it where he says, "I did it my way." Enoch's way in our Enoch's saying and our saying should be, "I'll do it his way." So is your walk like this? Is it consistent? The Christian life is not about following a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's about us falling in love with how great our Savior is and joyfully serving Him for what He did on the cross for us. Not only that, but in gratitude of Him conquering death and rising from the grave victoriously, because we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Hallelujah. Amen.